Welcome back to the Barca Breakdown Podcast. My name is Adam, and I'm here with Yuse. Thank you all for listening to us. Some of you might be listening to us for the first time on YouTube. That's kind of our new experiment, so go to at Barca Breakdown on YouTube, and we'll be uploading a separate video just to talk a little bit about what our goals are with YouTube and to get some of your commentary. But let's get into the game, Yuse. I mean, you know, this 6-1 victory against Real Sociedad away, fifth place in the league, is literally exactly what we wanted, right? I feel like every game-ish for the last like 2 to 4 weeks, we've been saying, yo, this was the best game of the season. And that's a pretty good place to be, man, where, you know, after every game, we're seeing a continual patch of growth. I feel like back in some of the Valverde era, as we led up to those big, devastating Champions League losses, we would be like, oh, we're doing really well. Then the next game, we would have a drop of form. And it seems like there's a continuity of excellence that we're seeing in the last few weeks here under Koeman, under a new president. That's really got me jazzed up.
I think you're totally onto something, because if you think about how we talked about playing a team like Real Sociedad, even in the last podcast and other podcasts, we knew this would be a hard game in general, and we came out today and we just dominated the game, truly, I think. And a 6-1 result is something that I think against this team, you said number 5 on the table, that's ridiculous. Koeman has really shown that he's creating space on the field, and a strategy that seems to be working, right?
True.
And we're holding our spot on the table.
I mean, yeah, we're right up there against Atletico. They got a little bit lucky today with an Oblak save on a penalty in the 86th minute that, you know, could have got us a draw and could have got us like, I think, only 2 points behind them in league. But overall, like you're saying, I mean, the 3-5-2 is working out really well. You know, in previous seasons, if PK was out for so long, we'd be really worried. But it looks like our defense is getting stronger, especially since the debacle that was the first PSG game at the Camp Nou. So why don't we get into it? The Real Sociedad game. Yuse, give us the lineup and kind of how that set you up for what you thought the game would be and how it would play out.
Okay, so let's start in the back, right? Of course, Ter Stegen, Lenglet, De Jong, Mingueza. Okay, having PK out just to start, we have tended to see De Jong shift back, kind of bolstering our defense, which seems to have worked, right? We're less Swiss cheesy lately.
True. And I think another thing that's big is, you know, you saw Real Sociedad have a few chances offensively because they were pressing that back three a lot. Mm-hmm. And, you know, even though we'll get into the moment with De Jong and how he kind of gave Alexander Isak a good opportunity to score, he does help facilitate getting the ball like through a press and get the ball up towards our midfield. And so, yeah, even though, you know, last podcast I kind of mentioned that Frankie had good success at the beginning of this year up front, scoring goals and being more attacking minded, there is value 100% in seeing him in that center back-ish role and how he can get the ball out to our midfield. And, you know, you're about to talk about, you know, our midfield. And I think the one thing that I saw as the game came out is like, hey, we're putting Frankie at the back. We got Busquets in. And I've just noticed that Busquets is playing way better with Frankie in the back three because it seems like there's less of a defensive worry and a less of a chance of Busquets being exposed on the counter. So this 3-5-2 in general has just been working out so well, and it's like one of the most clear ways that Koeman tactically has adjusted how the team sets up to give us the success we've seen lately.
For sure. And like you're saying about Busquets, today we saw that he did a much better job, right, in the midfield. But speaking of midfield, we had Alba, Pedri, Busquets, Dest, and kind of Griezmann floating around that. Well, actually more Messi, excuse me, floating around there, right? We saw him kind of facilitate early on.
And drift back a bit.
Yeah, for sure.
And, you know, one thing that's interesting is just looking at that midfield where, you know, Alba and Dest are in the midfield, but they're kind of playing as wingers as well.
For sure.
You know, we went into the game early on and even in that first 20 minutes saying, you know, Dest is leaving a lot to be desired offensively. You especially said that, and, you know, he proved us wrong in this game. So when I saw the lineup, I mean, Dest is definitely our best, what you would call, a right back, right? Mm-hmm. Or that winger, that role he's playing right now. And he, I thought he could produce more offensively, and I'm glad to see it. And, you know, he's just been such a huge upgrade compared to Semedo or Roberto in the last few years, where, you know, a lot of our attack before really had to come from the left side between Alba and Messi specifically. And now that we have Dest opening up space and opening up attacks on the right side, it's really just given our team a lot more versatility so that the defense can't just wait for Alba to get the ball and then Alba to pass it to Messi.
For sure. And also realize that, as we saw today, Messi and Dembele have been taking some attention towards the center and kind of leaving a little bit more space for Dest to operate, which is when he scored his first goal. And not to mention we had two goals from him, right? But I think the biggest thing here is that we had so much trouble opening up space under Valverde and
Setien
that this whole thing with Koeman is really opening up the field for us. I mean, today we just saw Alba going off, right?
Yeah, Dest going off.
Yeah, and Dest going off.
Busquets looking really good. I mean, you know, I think of the 3-5-2 and I think of Koeman's evolution as a coach this season, and I just think that he's really just put all of our players in a place to succeed, which is just so refreshing. I mean, you know, of course, there's always this issue, and part of why we're making YouTube content is that when we do these podcasts after every game, like if the game goes really well, you hear us being really, you know, praising the team and praising the coach. And then if it goes worse, we you know, we have to take that back a little bit. But, you know, I think with Koeman for the first time, we feel like we're seeing that gradual progression of the team getting better. And, you know, I think one of the great things, like we're talking about in terms of like each player being ready to succeed, is that, hey, Messi scored two goals and had an assist, right? Which is a really good game. But when the score was 3-0, you mentioned a great point when we were watching. You were like, hey, you know what's incredible, man, is that we're finally seeing Barca dominate a game and Messi isn't the sole reason we're winning, right? Of course, he had that initial pass to Alba for the first goal when Griezmann was able to score, but it wasn't like this was the Lionel Messi show and everyone was, you know, scoring off his passes. There were other elements of our team that are being set up for success so that we don't only rely on Messi, which I think is just going to provide invaluable as Messi gets older and, you know, it has less of an ability to like carry the team week in, week out, right? I feel like, you know, Messi's on if he gets one more yellow card, he's going to have to miss a La Liga game. Finally, I feel like if he has to miss that game, we're not going to be worried because the lineup Koeman's choosing is giving us a lot of versatility. So why don't you go ahead and break down some of the goals and any of your thoughts about them?
Okay, let's talk about the first goal. Obviously, Griezmann scoring again. I am so happy that he scored because he started off this year or this 2021 season very well. And I feel like it kind of dipped down a bit. And now he's, I wouldn't say he's back in form. I still don't think he's in form. He should be scoring more. But I think that the positioning he's been in has been a little bit better lately, defensively and offensively. Today we saw him run forward, and after Dembele took a shot from a great pass from Alba, that Griezmann was able to put it away. And that was clinical, right?
True.
We've seen him miss so many opportunities.
Yeah, and I think, you know, speaking about Griezmann, you know, there was the goal to from Alba to Dest, and that was started because Griezmann did a nice little 1-2 with Pedri, and I think overall you're correct. Like, Griezmann has been putting in a great performance defensively and has a high work rate, which we've said for, you know, a year and a half, even when the goals aren't there, and I'm hoping to see him increase his production offensively. And hey, he scored against Huesca. He scored that first goal today. You know, Dembele, right? I think as we look at that goal, Dembele probably should have put away that chance that Alba gave him. And, you know, he scored later in the game, and he had one goal robbed of him by the
offside VAR
scum La Liga refs, who are clearly trying to get one Madrid team at least to win the title this year. But, you know, that is really the narrative I'm going to look for the most as the season progresses, is we need to get Dembele finishing better. And, you know, even though he didn't put away that first one, it was great that Alba was there. You know, I think one of the things that we've been seeing a lot more is at least there's more players in the box ready to put in goals. You know, after the Huesca game, I was kind of saying, hey, I'm a little bit worried that, like, so many of our goals have to be amazing outside-of-the-box shots by Griezmann or Dembele or by Messi. And this game, we definitely saw more of a offense that had our players running in the box, getting that rebound for Griezmann to put away the first one.
That's a great tie to Dest's first ever La Liga goal.
Yeah.
Right? Think about it. Messi coming down the middle, drawing defenders toward him.
Dembele also drawing some away.
Now, all these defenders have their heads turned looking at Messi and Dembele, expecting Messi to give it to Dembele. Des is sneaking around the right side, wide open, stays onside, receives the ball from Messi. Beautiful finish, right?
Yep.
I couldn't have, for his first goal, couldn't have thought it would have been any better.
Yeah, his first La Liga goal was wonderful. Mm-hmm. And then, third goal of the game, again, it was the one I was referring to where Griezmann played a 1-2 with Pedri. Pedri drove it up and gave it to Alba. And then Alba did a nice cross that, you know, Dest was able to just knock into the net. And I think one of the cool things, you know, we didn't get too much involved, especially because we took that time off into, like, the presidential elections and, like, what Laporta means to the team. But there is a certain energy and almost love for the game and happiness that you can see has picked up a notch. That trend was throughout this year because the team's been playing better. But, you know, when Dest scored his first goal, you saw Dembele really excited. When Dest scored that second goal, you know, if Dest wasn't there, Messi probably would have put it away. And yet you see Messi just overjoyed and hugging Dest. And so I'm really happy to see everyone just look like they're enjoying the game and happy to be out there, because we had lost some of that at the end of Valverde's term. And Messi, I mean, you know, every time I see him smile and like look at Dest how he did, and I see him so happy for some of these young players, I just get closer and closer to setting up myself for hurt and thinking that he's going to stay next year.
But maybe this is what he needs to stay, right? Like, think of how many bad things were happening where it just made him not want to be there. And so much has changed. And if you think about it, everything that Messi probably loves about Barcelona and the team is coming back. It may be coming back a little bit slowly, but I think that when we're talking about emotional standpoint, in the last 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, the emotional volatility has been so high, up and down, right? Right now, I feel like we're on a steady increase, and the volatility is very low. It's almost like a beautiful growing stock.
True. No, definitely. And I think, you know, what speaks to that narrative that you're painting is that, you know, we just lost in the Champions League, like,
for sure,
a week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago, which, you know, we don't want to have a loser mentality and say it's okay that we went out, but given the context of this year, new coach, losing our second highest scorer last year in Suarez, and all the youth in terms of Pedri, Aleix, some of the, you know, Mingueza, some of these younger names coming in, it's a testament to how confident we all feel that, you know, we just lost in the Champions League and we're not still here moping around like we did after Anfield or after Roma or after Bayern. And
it just feels like a lot of future, high hopes for our futures as opposed to back then.
Yeah, no, you know? Definitely. Yeah. I mean, you know, we like Pedri, De Jong, Mingueza, a lot of these players, Aleix, like, they give me Dest, they give me so much more confidence than when like the, you know, supporting cast around that Messi, Alba, Busquets, PK, like that supporting cast before was like Gomes, mm-hmm. right? It was, even though Paulinho was good, it was Paulinho, right?
Yeah.
It was Arturo Vidal, who, you know, I would have loved to have like 7 years ago, but he's filled his role. But, you know, none of those players gave me the feeling that, like, hey, this is a player who's going to be here for like 5-10 years and grow and see our team improve steadily. And
they
now
were not the foundation, which is the biggest problem.
Yeah.
Right? We didn't have a solid foundation, and every time, like you're talking about Vidal and Paulinho, we knew they were just there for a short time just to try to get some goals or try to get some even championships, you know.
Man, I loved Paulinho. I mean,
he scored so many goals.
Yeah, he had that one season, and he, you know, really helped us. I think that year we won Liga and Copa.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, anyways, so going into the last few goals, like we discussed, so Messi's goal was, you know, partially because of Busquets and how the 3-5-2 has let him feel more relaxed and play better. I think he's had a great 2021, even though I've been a big critic of him in the last 2 to 3 years. And, you know, for Messi's goal, it was a really rare Messi goal. Busquets just lofted a pass as Messi made a run, and Messi just, you know, kicked it right into the goal. Beautiful finish. That's not a goal you see from Lionel Messi all the time,
no.
Especially recently. I think, you know, I saw some people on Twitter talking about, oh, he's had a few with, like, Cesc or, you know, goals in the early 2010s that happened, but, you know, we haven't seen Messi score a goal like that in a while, and it's pretty refreshing to see Messi make a run as the player farthest up the pitch, whereas, you know, nowadays we see him a lot facilitating from a more midfield area. It was really good to see him make that run and Busquets to make that pass. That was really something I'm hoping that we see more of.
It was almost an Iniesta-like pass to Messi as a young Messi, I think it was. But that is something, I think against some of these harder teams that may be coming up that we're fighting the title against, maybe Real Madrid or Atletico, that it'll be harder to see Messi pull something off like that. I would love to see it, though.
Sure.
But we also got to talk about in those kinds of opportunities that Messi had and in some of the other goals that we saw, like you were talking about earlier with Alba making some passes to Pedri, I believe, mm-hmm. and then creating that little triangle with it was Messi, Pedri, and Alba. That is something I feel like we had lost because it also creates space inside the box. And a lot
True.
Of times we're missing that.
And we saw that on the sixth goal, right?
Mm-hmm.
It was an incredible back and forth. I think it was like Mingueza to Messi to Aleix to Messi
mm-hmm.
to Puch to Alba to Puch to Alba to
mm-hmm.
Messi, right? That was a wonderful, wonderful sixth goal for the game. And, you know, I think it was just like you're talking about. There's a lot of one-time passes that harken back to an old era of, you know, Barca under Pep, and you know, I don't want to be one of those people who's sensationalist and like says like, hey, we're back and Barca's
mm-hmm.
back, but overall we are seeing some incredible chances created through ball movement that we didn't really used to see a lot, and that makes me really happy. And then, you know, we had talked about Dembele and how after the PSG game we thought he needed to do better finishing. He scored one that they called offside,
mm-hmm.
but the fifth goal was basically him just taking a pass from, you know,
Mingueza,
yeah,
like midfield.
Aleix, I think, yeah. Nearly midway.
Oh, no, you're right, yeah.
Nearly midway in the field and just running all the way to the goal and then, you know, shooting it into the bottom right corner. It was really beautiful, and I love Dembele, and I really want to see him succeed, and I don't like a lot of the slander against Dembele that we see out in the Barca fandom. And so to see him put away a goal and feel happy and proud was really good for me.
Yeah, the one thing I also think when people criticize someone like Dembele is, one, we got him and we played him. He was doing well, just kind of learning the Barcelona play style and getting involved in Barcelona. Then he had so many injuries, right? Like, think about it. Think of how much time he lost on injury that he's just coming back and... I think people just expect too much too fast. Granted, he cost a lot of money. Yes, granted, he cost over, what, 150 million?
Yep, something like
yeah.
that.
Yeah. Of course, like, you pay someone or pay for someone that much that you expect someone to put out that much. But, I mean, I think it's mental and physical, right? You're coming back from some of these injuries and you're coming back from, like, the fact that this could have messed up your career, or, you know, if you don't take this seriously, that something's, you know, something could go wrong, that it can get to your head. But I think he's done a great job with a lot of opportunities in the last few games, creating space, making some amazing runs, receiving the ball forward. Unfortunately, like you're saying, the offsides.
Yeah.
I don't think that was offside.
No.
Okay, come on. Like,
I mean, the same thing with that Huesca penalty right before halftime last week. It just seems like a lot of calls are a little bit BS, and I'm not very happy. Although, you know, as I mentioned earlier, right, earlier in the day, Atletico Madrid was playing against Alaves, and, you know, there was a red card and penalty given in, like, the 86th minute for Alaves that was pretty, I mean, he elbowed the guy in the face, but, like, you know, I could see how it would be a little bit harsh to give a penalty and a red right there. And so, you know, overall, I think we're talking about a bigger issue of VAR and refs than we're talking about, like, a totally anti-Barca.
Sure.
You know, but I mean, it's fun for us to say that. And you guys know, as much as we try to give some good analysis of the games, we're Barca homers over here, and we're always going to say that. And I think, you know, what's so interesting is if you take a step back and look at the team and how we're so excited about all of the different parts of the team who are coming together and playing the best, Messi has 19 goals and 8 assists in 2021, which is just insane. You know, that's a pace which over the last few seasons, I mean, he's been obviously Lionel Messi. He's been the best player in the world, but he's on some, like, production levels right now that are up there with some of his best play in the last few years. And I think it's great to see everyone else perform so well. And it's so cool to see how, like, whereas Messi carried us before when our team was playing so poorly as a whole, when our team is playing well, it just opens up so many lanes for Messi to create and to score himself. And I'm really happy to see him, you know, lighten it up at the end of this year. And as we go into the Copa America in the summer, it's going to be exciting to see Messi hopefully win with Argentina. But I've been down that road of too many times.
But like you're saying, with Messi and how many goals he has this season, it's kind of crazy how many goals we scored. And Messi has, he has a great chunk of them. But like, think of how many players have touched the ball and put the ball in the back of the net.
I think the number is 18 in La Liga this year. 18 different players for Barca have scored.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it actually ties our record, which I think was last year or the year before. And so it's a tremendous amount of scores.
And some of these players, like we're talking about Dest, Mingueza, right? Like all these new faces, all these young, great talent that we want to see score goals. I mean, in a sense, like, do I think Mingueza should be scoring like a bunch of goals? No. But at the same time, like, having those players do that boosts morale, and like sharing the a good quote of mine from Lord of the Rings is to share the load. And in this case, like, I think sharing the load is only creating a much more cohesive team, right? I think there's almost like a game mode that these players get into in a game like this, especially when everything's just flowing and going right, that needs to become more natural between the players, right? The more time these players sit on the field together, pass the ball, kind of feel each other out and understand like what these players are going to do, right? Like, how many times have we seen Messi, Dembele break away? And if Messi or Busquets knows that he's going to do that, how many more times are we going to see some of these passes just going to be perfectly placed, right? Yeah. They anticipate that. And I think that a lot of the times in the past when we didn't have those kinds of things, we were just expecting Messi to create them.
Sure. And now we have so many more tools to make it happen. And again, you know, I'm going to be saying every episode that Koeman should stay on for another season. And, you know, without speaking too much on it again, because we covered it last pod, like, dude, he came to Barca after we had been humiliated by Bayern, right? 8-2. And we had lost, of course, all the devastating losses before that in the Champions League, when he didn't get all the signings he wanted in the summer, when Messi was had asked to leave, and Koeman came on and has the team playing like this. It's really just a testament to his ability and his love for Barca. And, you know, I'm excited to see how it goes when he has a full offseason to get the players he wants and can, you know, create the team in the image that he wants. Because what he's doing now with a team that, you know, is kind of a hodgepodge of old players versus the new younger players, and then you throw into the mix some of the players he values out in the transfer market. If we can get some money and we can get Haaland, you know, we're approaching, in my eyes, which is kind of crazy to think about, because at the beginning of Koeman's reign, you would have never heard this sentence, right?
I like how you just said reign.
Yeah, but at the beginning of it, you would never have said that Messi staying with Barca at the end of this year would not only be like his most comfortable decision to make, because he loves the team and has been here so long and his family's here, but it also might be the best like footballing move for him to make, right? Because, like, dude, there's not a lot of teams out there besides Bayern and besides Man City who are
attractive enough to Messi.
Attractive enough, and I mean, PSG, we also have to throw in there. Obviously, they just beat us, but like, with the youth we have and with the development that I see as possible, like, you know, this Barca is one of the best places to be. And for the first time in a few years, like, I yearn for the next game, right? Like, we don't play Valladolid until the next Monday. Like, I have anguish about that fact. But
that you're sad.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, that I can't watch Barca play sooner, sure. Right? Okay, are there any other last thoughts you have about this game?
Yeah, let's talk about just our quick top three performances, Adam. I just want to get in who out of all the great play of today,
sure,
who would you point and say, like, this person is someone that really changed the game? Top three.
I think you have to say Dest, Alba, and Busquets. I think, you know.
Wow, Busquets.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not disagreeing with you, but it's just something I wouldn't expect you to say in a long time.
No, I know. I mean, and of course, with any Barca game, you can kind of always go with Messi, but kind of want to stay away from that. But, you know, Dest scoring twice, him creating offense, Alba continuing to be really great on the attacking end, and with Busquets getting that nice pass to Messi and being able to resist some of the press and looking freer and just better overall, I think those are the top three that, you know, really came in and showed that, you know, the last few weeks haven't been a fluke, and that, like, our continued performances are a thing that's here to stay.
You know what I really liked is that you said, out of the three choices, you said two players that didn't score in the game. And that's huge. And I think that's part of the narrative that we're trying to build in this podcast right now, is that things are changing. They're not going to change overnight, but things are changing. We're seeing things that we, you know, didn't see for a while. And it's wonderful. I love it. And I would agree with you on all three accounts. Is there another person that I think?
Bam.
Is there another person I think would have been, would have replaced one of those? No. I think if you're just talking about this game, those two, those three players changed the game. They're the responsible for 6-1, to be honest. Unfortunately, the one was in there, but.
Yeah, I mean, it was a breakaway that, you know, they were bound to score just because it looked like the team kind of let up the gas a little bit.
We totally forgot to revisit when De Jong just got bodied off.
Yeah,
and they almost
Isak.
Scored. Yeah, that's not good.
Well, you know, I think we're seeing a little bit of growing pains, which, you know, if the game had ended 1-1 or we lost like 2-1, mm-hmm. we would have come back to that moment if Isak had scored and said like, wow, Frankie's not ready for this role. And that can be partially true, right? Playing in this like center back position, he's not used to kind of the normal defensive play you might make, right? He thinks that, hey, he's a master passing the ball and he can get it back to Ter Stegen. Whereas, you know, if Piqué was there and he was the one on that challenge, he would have kicked the ball out.
For sure.
You know, and gave them...
Better safe than sorry.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that's just a skill he has to kind of refine, and hopefully we'll see him perform better at the role, even though, you know, he's been doing a good job so far.
I agree. Looking forward... We're looking at the table. We're still 4 points behind Atleti after their victory today against Alaves. Unfortunate that Suarez, the man we traded, scored for them and secured those 3 points. But we're still not that far behind.
We're not doing good.
We're
not. And I think the bigger thing to say is, and I've watched a lot of Atletico and Madrid games, Atletico and Real Madrid games this season, is that they're not dominating teams like we did today against Sociedad or we did against Huesca. Like, they are winning these games by the skin of their teeth and not really having like resounding brilliant performances. And so as much as, you know, it is going to be a battle for us to get back up, like I do not doubt that Atletico will drop points in at least two more games. And hey, if we take a game against both of them, right, we have one game left against Atletico, one against Madrid, in the form we're in right now, I have no doubt that we're going to beat them both. I have a little bit of doubt. It's a big task, but I mean, with the form we're in, I think we should. And the league is there, man. If I had to bet money, I would say we're going to win.
How much money, Adam?
Well, are you going to take the other side? I
no.
hope not.
No.
And you know what's cool is our April 10th, we have the Clásico against Real Madrid, of course. And what we've been kind of lucky about is that, you know, going into the Champions League quarterfinal draws, right, we have Man City versus Dortmund. We have Real Madrid versus Liverpool, Chelsea, Porto. And then the big one, PSG, Bayern. What's good for us is that Liverpool, Real Madrid, both of their games are the week before and after the weekend Clásico. And so, hopefully, with them coming up, they're going to be pretty focused on the Champions League because they're third in La Liga and, you know, they have to spend their resources somewhere. And so I feel pretty good about that Clásico coming up, that they might rotate to play us or they might be exhausted emotionally if they go and lose to Liverpool in the first leg, or they have their mind to the second leg if they squeak away. So, you know, a lot of the situation around that Clásico is really looking good for us. And then, you know, Atletico, of course, when I mentioned those quarterfinal draws, we didn't hear Atletico's name because they lost to Chelsea midweek. I was really hoping Atletico would win just so that they could focus on the Champions League and maybe have some, you know, tired bodies in La Liga. But unfortunately, they're going to be rested up. And so we just have to hope that they continue to, you know, kind of squeak away these victories and hope that a few of these games they draw.
Well, for El Clásico, let's talk about Real Madrid just really quickly and the amount of goals being scored for Madrid, or almost all by Karim Benzema in the last four games. Against Atleti, he scored to tie at 1-1. Against Elche, he scored both goals to win it, and one of them being in the 90+1 minute, right? A lot of these goals are coming late, and they're being scored only by Benzema. And I think that to take out and make sure that we defeat Madrid, we just have to control Benzema. And I think that would be a great thing for Koeman to kind of address. Do I think if we had De Jong, Mingueza, and Lenglet keeping tabs on him, do I think that it's going to be a problem? No, but he can pull off some crazy things. I don't think he will, But I just think that's like the thing to keep in mind.
Yeah, I mean, you're totally right. It's Benzema is the one scoring all the big goals. And, you know, I hate on Karim Benzema. He's actually like not of Madrid players, he's actually like one of the least annoying, I would say, right? Like, of course you hate Fede Valverde. Of course you hate Casemiro. I mean, I don't even want to mention his name, Sergio Ramos. Yeah, but you know, Benzema, I mean, I don't know. I don't hate the guy, but sure. he's on a good form of run, you know? Mm-hmm. Like when we had Suarez, there was a lot of like jockeying and narratives and like, you know, people always wanting to hype up Suarez in comparison to Benzema because Suarez is better. But now that he's gone, you know, I'll give Benzema credit. He's been lighting it up lately. And you're right. That's who we have to control. I mean, one interesting question that I don't think either of us have an answer for is, when is PK going to be back? And if PK is back, do we see 3-5-2 with Mingueza, PK, Lenglet in the backfield? And if so, who does De Jong take spot from in the midfield, right? There's some questions I have there about how does the 3-5-2 look when PK is back, but I think that's one of those things where kind of the time will tell.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree. Any last comments, Adam?
No, I think that about sums it up.
All right. Guys, as we do always, please follow us on Instagram or Twitter at Barca Breakdown. Please put on notifications for our posts,
including our tweets,
and including when we post any podcasts.
Or on our brand new YouTube channel. There will be a video also coming up asking for your opinions about what content you like, and we hope you will give us some thoughts.
Please comment, and we'll address them individually and hope to make you guys more content.
Thank you, guys.